Gilbert, Joel, Chad, Charles, Charles, Andrew, Clown Car, Jacob. You were on before, Nick, but these are all topics. You can comment on anything, smart guy. We want to hit Venezuela. We want to hit a lot of the other stuff that's happening. But in the short segment, on the trajectory Israel's on, the most unpopular country in the world now, they have nuclear weapons, the sanction option. I don't want to destroy Israel. I just want Israel to stop putting everybody on a collision course. But just looking at where this goes, the doubling down, it doesn't look good for Israel in just a few years. Because I've seen you say, oh, well, the young people are all right-wing or left-wing anti-Israel. It's not just young people. It's massively moving into the middle-aged and even old people. It's a chain reaction. So looking at this, where do you see Israel in 10 years?
I think it really depends on the outcome of the current conflict, because it would seem that after 2023, they're doing this go for broke once and for all campaign to destroy all of their enemies, which I think they believe are headquartered in Iran. And so that's Hezbollah, that's the Assad regime, these Shiite groups in Iraq, Syria, and also the Houthis. If they are successful in decapitating the Iranian regime, denuclearizing them, they'll be able to roll back these proxies. And what they're talking about is a significant expansion. Today, Netanyahu came out and said they want a demilitarized zone from Damascus to the Purple Zone. So they want southern Syria. They want southern Lebanon, south of the Litani River. They want the West Bank and Gaza. That's a pretty significant expansion of Israeli territory. And if they're successful in taking out Iran and they're able to get this kind of control over the region, it's going to be enormously profitable for them. It's going to be profitable because they would be the leader of the Abraham Alliance. And so all the AI and the energy revenue, all the sovereign wealth that is in the Gulf, it's going to flow into Israel. They'll be the leader. And they'll also benefit from the trade routes, from the Belt and Road, from the India, Middle East, Europe corridor. So I think that one pathway is that they could be extremely successful if they're able to make this happen. The other path, if they're not able to diminish Iran, is that you're right, they're going to be completely ostracized. They have earned no goodwill from any of their neighbors or the rest of the world. Turkey is against them. Saudi Arabia is unhappy with them. Qatar got bombed by them. And if Iran remains in power, like, there's never going to be a reconciliation between those countries. And of course, now they're alienated with Americans and they're not going to count on that unconditional support. So I think that it really all goes down to whether they're going to be successful, because if they're not, they're going to be in real trouble and they're going to have to repair all those relations over time. And it's going to cost them a lot of political capital. Even Egypt is unhappy with them. I forgot to throw that one in there. So I would say that right now the jury is still out. And this is why I'm very deeply concerned about what is happening with the Trump administration, because Israel knows the stakes. Netanyahu knows the stakes. The people, and whether Netanyahu stays or goes, whether he gets this pardon or not, the next prime minister will know it too. And the question is there enough of an understanding in the Trump administration, enough energy and pushback that they're going to be able to restrain Israel and keep them from kind of driving the traffic here for the United States. So that's kind of my tenure.
In general, though, in all the demographics, Israel is the most unpopular country in the world. It's getting worse by the minute. How do they respond to that?
Increasingly, I think that they're decoupling from the United States. This is why even they say they don't want the foreign aid anymore. They want a 20-year memorandum of understanding. And they're going to, like all the other middle powers, they're going to have to play both sides, I think. They're going to have to play China, India off of the United States, which is what the other countries do. It's what Saudi Arabia does. It's what Turkey does. It's what Brazil does. And I think that's kind of treacherous, but this is how they play. So they're losing support from us. They'll try and pick it up from the other countries. And they're a superpower in their own right. So I don't think they'll have trouble picking up investment or political support from the East, from the other bloc. So I think, like,
no,
everybody else, they're
back in 60 seconds. And so think about that. Then you have the Christian Zionists that literally say our souls depend on supporting Israel. And Israel's literally laughing at you. It's absolutely insane. Nick Fuentes is our guest. Your calls, your comments, so much more news coming up. 60 seconds. Stay with us. We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants. And this is the genesis point of the new revolution of information.
I will always believe and I will always say in public that Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met.
I'll tell you, that f***ing guy is right about a lot of shit.
Alex Jones has been right a lot of times.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
Fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us, and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
AlexJones.network is tomorrow's news today.
So when I say this, this isn't hype. And I'm not glazing Nick Fuentes or trying to puff his ego. He knows this because he goes out in public. I get multiple calls a day from high-powered people that want me to tell them, you know, is Nick Fuentes good or bad or what's going on with him? And most of the time they go, I heard he's this horrible person that actually went and saw what he said and I agree with him. I mean, even take Steve Bannon, like, saw his debate with Dinesh D'Souza, and I like Dinesh, you know, Dinesh 25 years. Wipe the floor with him. Dinesh had a bunch of talking points, and I know all the Middle Eastern stuff, and I know the countries, and I know everything Nick said was true. But, you know, his knowledge comes and goes. I mean, I couldn't muster up 10% of what he does. Of course, he's 26, so he's got that young brain. But I know he's right, and Steve Bannon does. So you got to give respect where it's due. And Nick didn't support it when I got censored. Everybody else basically did. So, but I did call Nick about a month before Kirk got killed. And I said, I don't remember the whole conversation, but I said, let me tell you, you and Charlie Kirk are the future. And I said, I'm not a cowardly person. I don't live in fear. I just said, I have a feeling. I said, you need to be very, very careful. And you need to really watch yourself and don't put yourself in danger for no reason. And, you know, Nick, listen to me, but I just have an understanding of the zeitgeist. I always have. And it's so healthy what Nick's done. You know, people try to guilt me having Nick Fuentes on. Every time I have him on, I get hundreds of emails, calls. What are you doing having Hitler on? And I made the joke, maybe Hitler, when he was in there with Kanye. And I'm just like, look at this compilation. In fact, I said I'd get to this. Let's play this before we get to the other stuff in your calls. A couple days ago, Elon Musk put this out. And it's, I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's like, you know, 5 minutes of headlines, mainstream news saying whites are inherently degenerate, our genetics are bad, we're scum, we should be eradicated. And I have all the videos of the professors and them saying it. And so you can't point your finger at Nick Fuentes then and say because he stands up for himself, he's bad. But he's mild compared to other people. But that's why they don't like him, is because he's intellectually defeating them. I mean, Hitler was a race-based monopolist, eugenics person, but he didn't publicly say all this stuff. The left goes further than Hitler in their declaration of war against white people. Now, I tell you, I got black listeners, Hispanic listeners, everybody, I love them. They love me. And what's crazy is they see Nick and they get it because they actually watch Nick and what he says rather than what they say Nick said. But it really is the David versus Goliath story to watch them throw everything they've got at Nick, and he just gets stronger. And I'll say this. I always admire people who I know have gone through what I've gone through and gone through, in some cases, worse things than I have, and you know, myself, other things, but it's the fellow traveler thing. And it's so exciting to be persecuted and to know God's real and come through it. But Nick, what is it coming out of BlackRock, coming out of the leftist Jewish lobby, all of it, that is anti-European? What is it? Why does it keep happening? And don't they know that it was going to conjure? They're lucky they got a Nick Fuentes. In fact, even Tucker said, they said, you know, he's pretty moderate and smart and intellectual. There's things you think Nick Fuentes is dangerous. There's a lot more dangerous things you're conjuring up. I mean, I can imagine. It's like some right-wing Islamic alliance or something in the future. I mean, it's crazy that these people go for total power. They see anything else that's successful as a threat. Whereas if something's successful, I just want to work with it and adopt it and be part of it. I don't get mad, you know, that somebody's got something better than what I've got. I just want to be part of it. And I can see if I was refused and rebuffed it. But that's a long rant, though. But what is it like to persevere and come through all this? So I have a few peers. You're definitely one of them, and way younger than I. So I just it's amazing. Because at 26, I had a big show, but nothing like the six you've had. So it's very paradoxical, because there's very few people that have done what I've done, and then you've done stuff even more at your age. I just have told you need to keep yourself alive, buddy, because let me tell you, this is a serious situation. So that's quite a rant there. It's a lot of questions there. How do you respond to it?
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and likewise. You know, over the years, we've had sort of a strange relationship over many different issues and things, like when we did Yay24 and a lot of different things. And I know that we have our disagreements. I think we generally agree on most things, though. And I know that some of your people criticize me, some of my people criticize you, but I think there's always been a mutual respect, because we're both on the same journey, in a sense. We're both taking the hits, and we've both been kind of through the gamut of what they've thrown at us. And I think you weigh more than me, the way they're coming for your company and this $1 billion lawsuit. It's totally insane. So I totally agree with that. As far as where the right wing is headed with the anti-white stuff and how I feel about it, I started my show 10 years ago because, as the youngest guy, as the 18-year-old, now I'm not even the youngest guy. I'm a younger guy, but I'm not the youngest. But as an 18-year-old coming of age during the Trump election and the rise of the alt-right, and really at the, I would say, at the peak of wokeness, which is synonymous with anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-straight white male, people my age at that time just had our finger on the pulse. We said our entire life we had been indoctrinated with this diversity stuff. And increasingly, it was becoming less pro-black and brown and much more anti-white. And people forget how bad it was. I mean, I have to remind people, I have to remind myself that in 2017, it felt like history was moving in one direction and nothing on earth could change its course. And it was going to be more anti-white, more anti-male, more anti-Christian, more degenerate. And it did keep going in that direction for many years. It went from pro-gay to pro-trans. It went from, you know, pro-black to this BLM insanity. Everything was getting worse. And I remember at that time, it straight up radicalized me, because I said, anti-white, hey, I'm white and I'm proud to be white, and white people built the country. All the kind of stuff that is mainstream now, back then it was super controversial to say something is wrong here. Like, why is it okay to only attack white people and say white people should have fewer kids? They're going extinct, and that's a good thing. They're going to become a minority, and then Republicans can never win again. I said, this is shocking and outrageous, and it seems like no one's talking about it. I distinctly remember realizing that whites would become a minority in America, and thinking about the political ramifications first, thinking about how that would empower Democrats forever. And I remember thinking, am I the only one who has discovered this? Like, why isn't anyone doing anything about this? I remember reading like Ann Coulter and Pat Buchanan and those people at that time and saying, there has to be surely some effort by Republicans to reverse this or fight it. And it just wasn't happening. I had to go out and do it myself. And I did that by supporting the Trump movement and then making it a little edgier, a little bit more radical.
Let me ask you this then. Do you think there's a second, third order thing with the social engineers? Or were they that arrogant to think this wouldn't have a backlash? Because now the backlash is so powerful, I know they're scared.
I think it really was arrogance. And maybe you would ascribe more of an intention behind it than I would. But I think at that time it was just straight up hubris because the left was totally dominant and they controlled Hollywood and they controlled the media. And the Republican Party was a horrible brand. You know, in 2014, who wanted to be a Republican? Nobody. The Republican Party was corny and stodgy and lame, and people thought it represented the rich and like crazy evangelicals. I mean, that's what Hollywood would say about it. It was a horrible brand. Even Republicans didn't like it. And then Trump came around in 16 and turned all that on its head because he's a celebrity billionaire, objectively cool. And he basically took the Republican Party and made it the winning brand and defeated the Democrats.
And now he's given up so much of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's forfeited that. I think that they really just got too cocky and they made a lot of unforced errors. And they gave up the game to Trump. And over 12 years, 10, 12 years, Trump has totally flipped
that. Well, let me ask you
this.
I'm sure you've noticed. I've seen you talk about it. Have you seen the record numbers of black people, Hispanics, and others that listen to you and me that actually get it? I mean,
I have, yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, I think that, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of people that
I think it's a sense of fairness.
I don't know that it's fairness. I think it's more that they're not woke. Honestly, I think that blacks and browns are not woke like white people are. And by that, I mean,
they're not into the leftist religion.
Well, the guilt and the sensitivity, you know, like with white people, if you say something racist, sexist, homophobic, you know, beta males and white women are going to freak out. They're going to say, what did you just say? I can't believe you... And I think that brown and black people just don't have that because black people have been used to doing whatever they want forever and they could say whatever they want and do whatever they want. And so when a white guy kind of gives them the same energy, like, hey, I'm not one of these woke tards, they love it. And I think Hispanics is the same way. And they're also pretty conservative. Like I know that's like a meme, but it's true that Hispanics and blacks have always been very socially conservative.
Got pissed they couldn't get the blacks to become communists in this country.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, blacks are socialist, but they're not down with this, like, LGBT feminist stuff. They're not down with the pronoun. Like, they're not with that. And yeah, they want more government programs, like, they think everything should be free, but they also don't want to be preached to by some, like, white Jewish liberal woman or some, like, white beta male bisexual guy. Like, they don't want to deal with that kind of thing. And I think, you know, maybe they don't agree with me on everything, but they say, oh, I like this guy because he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care about the political correctness. In many ways, that's why they respect Trump. They kind of just respect someone that's a G, you know, someone that doesn't care as much about that stuff. So I think it's an attitude maybe that they like.
Do you think Hakeem Jeffries realizes how much trouble he's in?
Maybe they're in trouble. Then again, maybe they're going to take back the House. Maybe they're going to run the government in 2028. I don't know. So I think it really could go either way. It depends on where the Republican Party takes it.
So let's do this. If you were President Trump right now, what would you do?
If I'm President Trump, I'm going to deport everybody. I'm going to restrain Israel. I'm going to force them to end all the hostilities. And I know they achieved this deal in Gaza, but that's not over by a long shot. And then I would do something with the affordability crisis. You got to address healthcare, infrastructure, jobs. I don't know what that looks like in terms of like a full spectrum approach. I would articulate a trade doctrine that's stable and predictable so that investment can start flowing, money can increase its velocity. But you really got to start to think more about the economy. I would drop the war in Venezuela and I'd refocus on the war against poverty in America. So, in other words, I would put the people first. I would listen. And what the people said in this off-year election is we want affordability. You know, there's so many bellwethers here about where the economy is. There's a housing bubble, the Black Friday spending, even though the volume was high in terms of the number of people participating was much lower. People are buying on credit. They're doing this, you know, pay later stuff. And then you have the jobs report from October, which they're not even releasing. Allegedly, we lost 50,000 jobs. If you don't count the data centers, there's been no job growth at all. And so the signs are there. We're in trouble. Bitcoin is crashing. I would really get back to the drawing board on what we're doing with trade.
No,
and
I agree.
What we're doing
and the polls show they don't like Trump saying everything's wonderful. We fixed inflation. No, you didn't. He's doing fixes that take time. Stop saying it's fixed. That's the thing that pisses people off. Now let's shift gears before we go to calls into Somalia. You wanted to get into that. Trump, during his cabinet meeting just an hour ago, Trump on Somalia immigrants, here's what he had to say.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you, okay? Somebody would say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country is no good for a reason. Their country stinks, and we don't want them in our country. I can say that about other countries, too. I can say it about other countries, too. We don't want them to help. We have to rebuild our country. You know, our country's at a tipping point. We could go bad. We're at a tipping point. I don't know if people mind me saying that, but I'm saying it. We could go one way or the other, and we're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country.
Wow.
Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage.
Wow.
Her friends are garbage.
Wow.
These aren't people that work. These aren't people that say, let's go, come on, let's make this place great. These are people that do nothing but complain. They complain. And from where they came from, they got nothing. You know, they came from paradise, and they said, this isn't paradise. But when they come from hell, and they complain and do nothing but bitch, we don't want them in our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it. Thank you very much, everybody.
Well, he ended the event with that. So, I might just air that on loop tomorrow for 4 hours. That's the Trump we want. Don't be politically correct. Stop bowing down. Do what he just did. Nick, that was powerful. That's the old Trump. That's the old Trump 2.0. What do you make of that?
Yeah, where's this guy been for the past 5 years? I think that's what everybody's thinking. I love it. And he hit every note because it's so true. These people come from a broken country. They come here and they mess up our country. Everybody knows they don't contribute. And for all the statistics,
and they run
people
us down
say, well,
how we're the
well, and that's the best part. They come here from a horrible country. They don't contribute. And then they're not even grateful. There's no gratitude. There's no reverence. There's no appreciation. And he's right. Ilhan Omar, that other one that just ran for mayor, they're not loyal to America. They don't even like America. And he's right. All they do is whine and complain. And I love that he says, all they do is bitch. It's true. That's all they do. And we don't want him here. Does anybody think America's made better by a bunch of Somalian immigrants? We don't want him here. It's just not a good idea. Don't need him.
And it's so healthy to start differentiating and bring back common sense. That was so revolutionary. Wow.
It is. But now we need to see something done about it. They need to go into Minneapolis and liberate the city, because otherwise it's all talk. Okay, it's a great statement. You know, that's what everybody wanted to say. It's very cathartic. It's like, you know, I feel good when I hear that. But if in 3 years, Minneapolis is still Somalian, I'm going to say WTF. What happened then?
By the way, do you know both the cops they hired that were Somali non-citizens killed people and lost their jobs within a few months?
Really?
I'm sorry about Somalis, folks. I mean, just be honest. They literally admit it is a culture of slavery and piracy.
Well, and it's them. It's the Haitians. It's like, hey, remember the Haitians in Springfield? We don't want these people. Like, these are probably the two worst countries on earth, Haiti and Somalia. They don't have a functioning government. Somalia does not and has not had a legitimate central government in decades, and neither does Haiti. And yet we're bringing these people into the Midwest. Why? Why are we bringing them to Ohio and Minnesota? Well, they're bringing them in because they have a functional welfare state. They're bringing them in because you have good health care in Ohio and Minnesota, bringing them in because you have a generous welfare state. And we're waiting for the president, the actual President Trump, that is going to take them and remove them from the country completely. But, I'm not confident that that's going to happen. I'm waiting for the day when they send in ICE by the tens or hundreds of thousands, and they literally just take them all out. And one day you wake up and Minneapolis is no longer under Somalian occupation. I don't think that's going to happen, but it needs to. And so that's where I hear a statement like that, and you go, okay, so clearly you still have it in you. You know what we want to hear. You know what we want you to do. The 2016 Trump never left. You just need to flip a switch. But now you need to deliver. And so if you can deliver all these other things, deliver this, do what you need to do, but like make it happen. Because if you remove these people, they're not coming back. If you take these people out of the country, you can violate every federal judge injunction, every Supreme Court ruling, whatever. If you just take these people and physically remove them, they're not coming back. Just do it and pardon yourself. Do it and pardon your people. But we just have to start getting them out.
And by the way, you're putting them into a wonderland. They all say how great Somalia is. You're doing them a favor.
Yeah, they're so proud, right? I mean, they're so proud of their culture and their heritage, and they're so much better than us. So let's just do them a favor. We'll get them a nice military cargo plane ride right back, and then we're going to slam the door shut so they're never tempted to return. I just want to see it happen. And it's frustrating that, you know, when you hear that, do you realize it? It's like it's very pleasing to hear, but you also realize, oh, so Trump knows exactly what to say and exactly what to do. He's just not doing it every other day and 90% of the other times when it's not happening. So that's where it's sort of bittersweet.
No, I agree. But I'm starting to see a pivot, though. I think he's starting to swing back because he knows his poll numbers are in the toilet.
Well, I'm not going to say that until he delivers. I think this is what he does, which is he says these things and people go, oh, here we go. We're going to get that old Trump back. And it buys him another 6 months. And it's 6 months of letdown, 6 months of disappointment. I hope you're right. I hope he pivots and turns it around.
Well, they are having giant raids in Minneapolis right now.
Are they? How many people are being removed? I don't think
it's thousands.
They're talking about doing that.
No, it started. No, it just started. But here's the thing. Biden all gave him amnesty. Trump's revoking it.
Well, he's revoking their protected status so they could be deported. But we actually have to put them on the planes and get them out. But we're just not seeing those numbers. It's 300,000.
But in fairness, you know, the judges have been blocking it. I mean, they have ramped up enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, they're training more people. They're hiring more people. But the numbers are still so low. The average is like 1,000 per day. That's nothing. I mean, you need 10,000 a day, realistically, to get even the 10 million under Biden. That's just to get us neutral. And then people want to say, what about self-deportations? What about them? We need to literally have massive operations and get these people out. And they say, well, you know, they're obstructing. Okay, like throw all those people in jail too. Wouldn't it be paradise if we woke up in 4 years and we were 10 million less immigrants and all these like left-wing agitators, all these horrible leftists were in prison for attacking ICE and throwing planters in front of their trucks? Like,
that's the Soros judges that are letting them out.
They should just disobey that. They don't have to listen to that. They should just disobey that. The Supreme Court intervened and said, you can't do these nationwide injunctions on every little thing. You got to go full Andrew Jackson and just disobey it. I mean, we're at a critical stage. We're in a crisis. It's time for the government to lay down the law. Time for the executive to execute.
No, I agree. Constitutional crisis time. All right, let's come back. I want to hit Venezuela briefly, and then we're going to take some calls, hit some of the comments and questions for Nick Fuentes. A real discussion. Notice there's been no infighting in this interview. Different personalities attacking each other. That's fun, and that gets ratings, but it doesn't move the needle towards liberty. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com. I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on. Where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product that has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales. The
change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a loss leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much, so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Alex Jones Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at thealexjones.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars as we fight to stay on the air, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. And again, I don't own thealexjones.com. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. Big Lee does. And so I'm just going to work there and be the news director, and we're going to continue on, and they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates, you share them everywhere, you take the clips, you take the articles, you take the video links, and that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money so we sell you great products that really work. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high quality food at reasonable prices, so you want to come back, there's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the Ultra Methylene Blue or the CMOS or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWars has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here, but you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this, the other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and God bless you all.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Nick, I want to briefly hit Venezuela. And I know you and I have overall agreed on the policy. I don't trust the intelligence agencies to do this, but I get hemispherically this. Like you said, this isn't neoconism, this is realism. But just briefly, and I'm not attacking you. You just make the joke like it's a debate, but it really isn't a debate, so I didn't call it a debate. I remember seeing you like a year ago. You go, you know, Alex talks about Bilderberg Group and the globalists, maybe 2 years ago, but he's like, you know, it's really this. But what about the big tech? What about the big banks? What about, you know, all, to me, there's that whole corporate globalist system that obviously Israel's heavily involved in, China and others. But you're a smart guy. You know your geopolitics. So certainly you understand that the heart of the Western globalist power structure is the big corporations. How do we deal with that wild card? I mean, I see Trump putting pressure on BlackRock, at least on the surface. States like Texas winning lawsuits against them for trying to cut our carbon output. I see Trump getting us out of the Paris Accords. That is so huge, getting us out of the carbon taxes. That's incredibly positive. I mean, how do you respond to that power block of the overall globalist corporations?
Well, I mean, when you look at Trump, he's a pro-Wall Street candidate. I mean, he cut the corporate tax rate in 17. He extended the corporate tax cut again this year. And you look at the donors, you get Ken Griffin backing him. You got Tim Mellon, a banker, giving him $200 million. And who was at his inauguration? It was Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. You know, it was big tech and little tech together. So to me, I look at Trump as basically, at this point, a pro-establishment figure. They're not afraid of him. The New York Times, the Washington Post, they don't give him, and no one talks about this, but they do not resist him half as much as they did 10 years ago. In 2016, when Trump ran the first time, you remember, it was brutal. Every day, the coverage was 99% negative.
No, I totally agree
was,
that a lot of the establishment's capitulated, and Trump's danger is looking like establishment when he hasn't yet even won. So let me ask you this then. But the deep state, the Democrats, the elements of the CIA, they're all trying to call a revolution, or you disagree with that? Because they're definitely trying to foam it, don't follow orders. They're definitely trying to set something up. I agree, their power is diminished. Who makes up the kind of leftist leftovers?
Well, it's difficult to say because they seem to be very disorganized. And it's hard to say who's on what side at this point. You know, a lot of people came over to the right after October 7th, which is sort of interesting. You know, you had people like Bill Ackman, for example, who was a left-wing guy, now is on the right. He was a left-wing Jewish donor. Now he's on the right because of the whole Israel issue. So the question is, who is really left? I think that they've lost a lot of the institutional Jewish support. USAID got rolled up. So I think a lot of the money that came from the NGOs is drying up. The Trump administration is doing a good job of fighting back against that. So where are their power centers? Well, you could even say that Zuckerberg was a major booster for the Democrats in 20, $300 million from Zuckerberg Chan Foundation. Yeah. He didn't even put money in 24. He sat it out and he did the whole rebrand. He was like a tech bro, changed his look. So you've got Reid Hoffman, you've got Bloomberg, you've got Pritzker, you got Hollywood, and I'm sure there's a lot of holdovers, a lot of stay behinds in the CIA and in the, you know, the State Department and the federal bureaucracy. There are
but
actually
really
still
is a
ton.
A diminished headless horseman. I agree. It's like a decapitated chicken running around.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So it's hard to say who will then emerge and take leadership. Obama allegedly has been orchestrating a ton of meetings in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Over the past week with Susan Rice and Victoria Nuland, for people to know who that is. And
but
a lot of other like
deck chairs of the Titanic.
Yeah. You know, so they're trying to get it back together.
So you're right, though. We should put all our pressure on Trump. When I asked the question, it was rhetorical at the first. But do it right, not fake stuff. Do real serious stuff like you're doing. You're right. Everything is about the populace we have in, putting pressure on them to stay true, because the left is basically on a suicide mission.
Well, yeah, and I just think that they're not the biggest threat right now. They're pretty disorganized. The biggest threat right now is that we're going to lose the initiative on the right. And what I basically want to do is fortify the right wing in the way that Trump did the first time. Because before Trump took the fight to Clinton, he first had to level the whole conservative movement. He had to fight Fox News with Roger Ailes at the head at the time. And he had to fight, you know, that whole constellation of think tanks that were dominant back then, the consultant class, as well as all the politicians, the Bush dynasty and the donor base.
But it
that
sounds
were
like you're
Rubio.
Saying, in a way, Trump's more dominant than ever, but it's his to lose. Because paradoxically, you also say MAGA's in trouble, which I agree. He's defeated the system on the right wing. He's got control, but now he can sink the ship because he's the captain if he runs into an iceberg.
Exact. Yeah. Very well said. Yeah. He's slipping. He's losing the initiative. And, you know, and it's an unforced error. Like I said, if we cede economic populism to the left, we're going to open up a door for them to come back. And it'll be hard for the right wing to recover if this administration's a complete disaster, because a lot of people voted Republican for the first time in 24. A lot of people came over because of the pandemic, because of the Ukraine war, all that kind of stuff.
And Rasmussen has found they're now swinging Mondami.
Exactly. So if we blow it this time, we're really going to blow it. You know, the voter registration in Pennsylvania is now going left for the first time in years.
Yeah, Trump needs to act like a rebel and an underdog that he is, not the emperor in a gold gilded cage.
yeah, he's got to take his prize. I don't get it. Like, we won. We won the election. We won after the persecution. He got shot in the head. Take your prize. Do
what. By the
way,
we predicted, I predicted that he would not involve with Epstein and sex, but do it for Israel and MI6. And now it's come out in the emails they release. He worked for the Rothschilds, MI6, Mossad. That's always been known, but now it's confirmed. Trump literally wasn't involved with sex and Epstein, but he connected himself now. What a mistake.
Yeah, exactly. He, like, why shouldn't he have just released all the files to begin with? Now we get the worst of both worlds, because all this stuff is coming out about him anyway, and it doesn't look like it's actionable. Doesn't look like he was on the island or anything like that. But, you know, like you said, now he's associated with it. So
God, it's just advisors that just... briefly, Venezuela, since you were on a few weeks ago, what's your view on it now?
I think we should take a deal with Maduro, honestly. I think that, you know, and who knows what's going to happen at this point. I think it's inevitable there's going to be military action, and Rubio wants to roll up the whole Caribbean. He wants Venezuela to go, then Cuba, then Nicaragua. And if he could pull that off, I mean, it's good. If he can pull that off, that would be an achievement. I mean, we would look back on that and say, wow, like, we reoriented the Western Hemisphere.
Could launch a new Vietnam.
Yeah, that's the issue, is it's never that simple, is it? It always sounds tantalizing, like, oh, we're going to take over Iraq and then the whole Middle East will be a democracy. But it never really goes that way, does it? So, you know, Venezuela's not Panama. And we've been trying to take out Maduro for a decade. We've been trying to take out Cuba for half of a century. I don't know that that's all going to come to fruition. So at this point, it's unavoidable. I think we're on a collision course.
Yeah, when do you think Trump starts bombing Venezuela?
I think it'll be within the next couple months, maybe sooner than that. I think that Trump is going to try to give diplomacy a chance. He called Maduro, and Maduro has a choice to make here. Doesn't have a lot of cards to play. So it really comes down to whether Maduro is going to go quietly. But if he doesn't, then I think the bombs are going to start going anytime now within the next couple months.
Absolutely. I want to jam in a few calls here. People find you at Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. But man, I'm a little jealous. I never had the Democrats try to pass a law against me. but you know, a sanction in Congress by the Senate, that's most 20. I never heard any 26-year-old having that happen, Nick. I know you're not on a power trip, it's how you're able to control it, but you ever like wake up and go, wow, is this real? Like, you know.
It's just kind of ridiculous. I'm like I do a talk show, I do a live stream, and it's like we're passing a resolution in the Senate condemning this live streamer. I'm like, don't you have other stuff to do?
Well,
like,
don't they know? Well, I mean, I actually wish Schumer would please give. I mean, God, Hillary came out and called me the dark heart. We got like 10 million viewers extra the next day. Like, well, don't they understand the Streisand effect?
Yeah, and even a lot of the pro-Israel people said, what are you doing? You're just giving it more attention. You got to stop this. And it's like, yeah, it's great for ratings. But I'm like, it just seems kind of ridiculous.
Remember,
like,
there's multiple videos of him serving raw hamburgers.
Oh, who, Schumer?
Yeah, he goes here. He goes, I've never had a backyard, but my daughter's wife has a backyard. Here's your hamburger. And it's a raw red patty with unmelted cheese he's putting on a bun. So, I mean, maybe he is like a Martian, you know what I mean? Like he doesn't know how to, I mean, you haven't seen this?
No, I've never seen that one.
Serving raw hamburgers.
Ugh. Oh, man, yeah.
And there's video of him serving them.
They're trying to role play as Americans. That's what happens.
Well, I mean, how do you not know how to cook a damn hamburger?
They never done it before. Plus, that's not kosher. Cheese on a burger, that's not kosher. Maybe that's why. He's got it messed up there.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this anymore. Oh, my God. We're in so much trouble. I mean, it just makes my head spin. Charles in Oregon, you're there with Nick Fuentes. Go ahead, Charles.
Good morning, awesome. Nick Fuentes, great show on the Sam Hyde Show. Shout out to the producers at InfoWars. Yeah, I've been on the hold for about 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. This is MK Ultra. Love it. Ultra Life Force. Bovine colostrum and the methylene blue. Make sure you do a quick AI search and it's not stuff to be messed with. Check with your health physician, check YouTube before mixing it with anything else.
Yeah, folks, we're not selling BS. That's a good point. Your question or comment, go ahead.
So I'm just really frustrated with all the infighting. I think Jones is spot on. We need to pull together and at least meet halfway. We need to all meet halfway. I love Candace. I love Laura Loomer. Nick Fuentes, I just got turned on to him. He's awesome. I loved him on that Sam Hyde show. Mark Dice, MTG, all these big names. I wish we could just meet halfway because I know the establishment loves the fact that this infighting is going on. I understand the issues with the Israel.
Yeah, but
and
see,
all
we're
that,
not doing infighting. You're bringing it up. But it gets right, ratings, cool. So people do it. You know, I've had Laura Loomer trying to drag me into her stuff lately, and I'm just like, you got MTG, you know, who's a really nice lady, Trump attacking her. That was so stupid. But yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah, what about the infighting, Nick?
Yeah, I think that wherever possible, we should try to unite. And at the minimum, we should all talk and engage with each other. But the problem is these people, there are people on the right that want to cancel. And that's the difference. It's like you and I have had our disagreements and we agree on a lot and we talk about it and we're civil and we're polite and we're pointed in the same direction and we're always better off after the conversation. And that's true with a lot of people. But then you got these other people on the right like Levin and they're like, no, you can't talk to this guy. They tried to cancel Tucker. They canceled Kevin Roberts for defending Tucker for having me on the show. It's like the degrees of separation are crazy. So
now he wants Levin, like I said in an article, he wants college kids basically thrown out of their college group or banned because they dared watch the Tucker interview with me. Like,
Yeah. College kids went to a dinner with the guy that talked to Nick in a show and didn't push back. Like, what are we doing with that? So I think that the Big Ten needs to be big. And I've never had any problem tolerating people that I disagree with. They always try to cancel me. And I know it's the same with you. You talk to everybody and anybody. So do I. It's the other side that says, no, don't watch InfoWars. Don't watch Fuentes. That you can't talk to these guys. They're the real problem. So I, in some sense, I'm in agreement. I don't like the infighting, but
let's
got to differentiate.
Joe. They're trying to ban ADF. They've killed 30 other people in the last few months. Alternative Deutschland Party, or is that ADF? Or they? Talking about Germany, so that would be the Alternative Deutschland Party. Go ahead, Joe, in Florida.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Alex. This is at Joe Bender from Florida on X. The AFD. I've been concerned about this for a while and been meaning to talk to you about it. The alternative for Deutschland is the party.
Yeah, they just put it wrong on the screen. I figured that was what it was. AFD, go ahead.
Right on. Well, I heard about it first on Fox Radio one day when I was driving, and they said, Elon Musk is supporting this far-right party. So I thought, well, what does that mean? You know, they've called MAGA far-right, not so much Fox saying that, but then they call Nazis, on the other hand, far-right when they're actually socialists. So I wanted to see what it was. So I went on their website directly to the source, and they have this thing called the Manifesto for Germany. And on page 5 of their Manifesto for Germany, they say they like social market economics and direct democracy.
Yeah, I mean, AFD is pretty libertarian. So what's your question or comment?
Well, my point is that I want to make is that I think that they're kind of getting grouped in with conservatives when they say they like social market economics, which is basically a planned economy, and that's not conservative at all. And then they say they want direct democracy. I don't know what the answer is for Germany or what the solution is, but and I don't want anything bad to happen to their members. Like they, you know, you're mentioning that violence had been targeted. They've been targeted by violence, but I just think people need to be careful about who they.
All right, I hear you. What about Europe in general, and what do you think of AFD, Nick Fuentes?
Well, AFD has been drifting a little bit to the left, and you're right. There's a very strong libertarian faction, which is why I'm a little confused about the question. But they've been drifting very libertarian and very, in some ways, pro-Israel. But overall, I think the priority in Germany is get the migrants out, get rid of the hate speech laws. It's basically like the German state has no identity. They have their raison d'etre, the reason for their country, they say, is to like affirm the Holocaust in Israel. It's insane.
So what's your prediction for Europe? Is it salvageable?
I don't know. Europe is really spiritually very dead. You know, the whole continent has apostatized. They're not Christian and there's no energy. They're not having kids. They don't take pride. I will say there's a lot of positive signs, though. Italy has a right-wing party. AfD is surging. They're now the highest polling party in Germany. In France, you got the national rally coming back. Macron has a 13% approval rating. So politically, I'm a little bit optimistic, but they got a lot of problems, man. And they're throwing people in jail for being right wing. So it could go either way. It's very difficult to say right now, but things seem to be going pretty well over there. Seems to be a big right wing populist revival, maybe more potent than it has been in the past 10 years.
We only got a few minutes left. What are you doing your show tonight?
It's been a little bit of a slow week, I got to be honest. I don't know if you feel that way, but not too much happening. I'll probably cover Venezuela tonight, and I might cover the statement on Somalia by Trump. Do a little of the stuff we did here on the show today. I'll recap it. But it's been a little slow past few weeks, can't lie.
I don't know. You guys say a slow news day. My goodness, there is so much to cover, but I overall hear what you're saying. Looking at the midterms coming up, who knows what's going to happen, but historically the party out of power wins. 2028, that's just right around the corner. We're just like 2 years away from that starting up or less. Who else do you see other than Vance, who obviously is the main guy they're going to push with Rubio as his VP? Who would you support as a Republican?
Right now, I can't see anybody that I like. You know, when people talk about Thomas Massie, I don't think he's running, and I don't know that I even would. I think he's too pro-immigration, to be honest. I know he's good about some issues. And people talked about Marjorie. I really did like her statement that she put out the other day attacking Republican men and telling them, make your own dinner. I really didn't like that. So there's not a whole lot. I mean, our options looks like Vance, Rubio, DeSantis, Kristi Noem, you know, maybe some governor somewhere. I'm really looking forward for a dark horse. I'm looking for somebody that maybe we're not aware of, maybe someone that's not on our radar, but I'm looking for like a young guy who's going to be far right, who's going to kind of tap into the Trump style and the Trump messaging from 16. But of course, with the topical stuff from this decade, I'm looking for somebody like that to come around, maybe that we haven't heard of. In the same way that when Trump came around in 15, nobody anticipated that he would dominate the race like he did. I'm looking for a figure like that, and I don't know if one will arrive.
Well, you can't run for president for 9 years, but are you going to run for president?
I don't know. Everyone's always asking me that. I don't think I'm cut out for politics. I'm not disciplined enough.
We're going to have the Jones-Fuentes ticket.
I would run. Hey, you run as president, I'll be your vice president. How's that?
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be quite the headline. So in closing, as we say, gut level, your prognosis for the West and the world, do we have a nuclear war in the next few years? Do we have a global depression? I mean, just big picture, how are you feeling about humanity right now? Because look, the fact that, you know, nobody knew about the globalists 30 years ago, now a lot of people do. Nobody knew about America first, now they do. I mean, I've seen us gaining so much traction. We're not there yet, but we're moving so quickly. I'm positive overall.
I'm positive too. That being said, I'm positive long-term, but short-term, I think we're headed for a cataclysm. It's unavoidable. I think between the AI-induced job losses, the debt bomb that we're sitting on, the emerging World War III, Taiwan in 27 maybe, the political disorder, I think in the short term, we're headed for a lot of problems. But I think that that kind of situation tends to create a rebirth. And so if I were to kind of map it out, I would say long term we win, but I think we're going to undergo a lot of tumult and trial and difficulty in the very short term, because just no getting around it. There's a true revolution going on in the world in every domain, and that always brings with it instability and disruption.
I mean, it's the fourth turn. It's great waiting. So in closing, what do you think it's like for the left and the ADL and all the control groups that had us under a spell, not you and I, but other people, total spell political correctness. When they said jump, we say how high. And now the more they intimidate, they see it all dissipating. What must it be like in their minds to see their intimidation, their bullying, their mind control ended? And then how do they respond to that?
Well, they're so defeated. I love watching these podcasts that they do because they all still do. They all got a Substack. They all got pot. All these like journalists on the far right beat that would cover us. They all have a Substack and they are just defeated. They do a small podcast for 1,000 viewers and they infinitely complain about the stuff we're saying, the things, you know, the dynamics of the right wing. And so it's very delicious because for, as you know, for years, these people were on us and the bullying, they relished in the power they held to censor, to ruin lives. And they were like tattletales. They were like that character in Recess. They had like their little notepad. They were going to run to the principal. Oh, Nick Fuentes said he's a white nationalist. Uh-oh, guess you lost your Twitter. And now they got nothing. So I'm very pleased with it, but at the same time, we can't make the mistake that they did. We can't have hubris. We can't get too carried away. We got to stay dialed in.
No,
I agree,
and we don't want to censor them because no one's listening to them. Try to just stop attacking late-night comics with no viewers. We're not calling for censorship. We've won the intellectual debate, so we don't need to censor them. Plus, we don't want to. Let's be clear.
I do think we should punish them, though. I think they should be punished economically. They should be made non-viable because if they got power back, they would use it against us with a vengeance. And so that's why, like when Charlie Kirk died, everybody said, no, we have to support free speech. I disagree. I support free speech in the law, but just like they did to us, I loved it when people were calling employers and getting people fired, people making death threats, should have been getting arrested. When we have the power, we have to use it against their shock troops and make their businesses economically non-viable. These like newspapers are being shut down. I love it. I love seeing Vice go out of business. I love seeing BuzzFeed News go out of business. We need to replicate that. And people should not be shy about that. It's not like we're going to give them a right to play in the game. If they win the game, they're going to kill us and our kids. They're going to trans our kids and they're going to murder our ancestors.
They've given us no quarter, so they don't get quarter. Nick J. Fuentes on X and Rumble. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Another great interview. All right, we're out of time. Brianna Morello is going to host the War Room because Harrison Smith hosted for her today when she was at the Pentagon news briefing. And she'll be hosting from D.C. for the Rumble Studios coming up. But hey, I'm backed by you. I'm not backed by the left or Soros or the New World Order or the whoever's. I'm backed by you at thealexjonesshow.com. And we have the 12 days of Christmas sale. We have a bunch of sales in the next 12 days. But the next five, it is buy any supplement and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $20 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Unprecedented deal. It's running for just 4 days until Friday evening, so I guess 3.5. So take advantage of that right now. Get the ultramethylene blue, get the Shilajit, get the Irish Sea Moss, get the bovine colostrum. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your incredible support. But whatever you do, share the articles, share the videos on Rumble, on InfoWars, on X. You are the Paul Revere's. Thank you so much. Great First Amendment 2 hours we just had. Great 4-hour transmission. Brian Morello, host of the War Room, comes up now. You'll find those feeds at InfoWars.com/show. And on the Real Alex Jones feed, look for the InfoWars feed. This is about to re-loop the 4 hours. The show belongs to you. All the clips belong to you, so share them. Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right. Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend after before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. Ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, get another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, get another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free, that are the top apps, just in the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app for your desktop or phone. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.